Hey guys, thanks for watching The Naturalist Capitalist. I'm your host, Reed Coverdale, and I've got Ryan Dawson back on the show tonight. How are you doing, Ryan?
Pretty good.
So, we've been friends for about coming up on a year now, almost. I think in October last year, first started talking with you, and then I had you on the show in January, right after your channel got removed. And pretty much from the beginning, as soon as I had you on, I started getting all these fucking complainers saying, you know, you're platforming an anti-Semite, you're platforming a Nazi, anti, you know, Jew hater, whatever. Just came.
Did you get the he's a Zionist crowd too? Because I get that also.
Really? No, I never got that. But
hey, just like look for my images. You'll see people put a big curved nose on my face and all this crap. I'm like, I get both.
So, you know, I've gone to bat for you all the time. Gabe Hoff came after me. People come after me. And I say, no, nope.
Gabe Hoff.
Yeah. I say, no,
nope, this is a guy that colors himself blue on Twitter and puts parentheses on himself and then complains when anyone else does the same kind of sarcastic crap.
Sure. So, what happened was this video came out of you, couple weeks ago that's from right after Soleimani got airstrike. It's called Them Every Time. And you talk about in the beginning of the video, you know, Zionists and how much control they have over our country and how they duped Trump into airstriking Soleimani. It has a lot of
political assassination, which is very dangerous because that would open the door. And well, if we can do that, can't they do that?
Sure.
And that's just, it was so, I was so furious when, first of all, they gave me a strike when I reported on that, and they kicked Press TV off of YouTube. Right. So Press TV is the Iranian state television that would want to say something about the Soleimani assassination. And YouTube just said, nope, your whole channel, you're just, and they didn't break any rules or anything. They just were like, you're Iran. So they removed them from YouTube. And then, so I was mad and I had to go do it on BitChute.
Right.
I was just like, I want to just cuss up a storm. But I realized the bigger picture because I'm thinking you were this close to World War III. And because we were. I mean, I was in the war room with the Iranian state television for an hour and a half, calming people down.
Right.
And say, no, the American wants to react like that. Don't do it. And they did attack a base after that two times. You know, two different. That's the setting that it was coming in. So I was mad. Well, I'm right. Thinking, yeah, that's, we're following Zionist ideology again. Like, why are we in such alliance with these ardent racist assholes that are colonizing Palestine? Like, I don't get it, because culturally we're so against that in another field. Like, oh, racism is the worst thing in the world, except when Israel does it.
Right.
And we have spent trillions of dollars, and I'm sick of seeing people my age go over there and die, as they did in Iraq, as some of them did in Afghanistan. I had a friend that was killed in a blue-on-blue incident in Afghanistan. He was accidentally shot by another American. And there just was no point in any of it. But, oh, we got to have the opium so we can pay our proxy forces in Syria and stuff. And the whole thing in the Middle East, you could blame America, but more specifically, you can blame neocons in America who are Israeli partisans or loyal to this state that believes in ethnic cleansing and Jewish supremacy. And right. I'm like, why is that group so special that they can dictate the most powerful country in the world?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I'm one of your consistent watchers. I know you really well. I know what you believe, know what you think. So a lot of people who don't, they've come across this video and you use a lot of really fiery language in it. So, you know, you say parasite a couple times, and just let me get through this whole thing and then comment on it after. So you say parasite a couple times, which whenever you're talking about Jews and parasite, it's obvious, you know, what the connotations are with that. And then, you know, you do talk about how it's Zionist in the beginning, but then there's this clip where pretty much everything in the 20th century, you relate to Jews. You say like, organ harvesting Jews, pornography Jews, you know, you name like five or six things. And then you say, and they wonder why Adolf Hitler got elected. So people see that, and I mean, it's obvious where their conclusion goes. So you want to just explain like what you meant there? I know you were angry, and you know, I was angry when that happened.
Right. Well, I'll go step by step. Well, yeah, I was angry, but I would say that shit all the time anyway. I go that hard on everybody. Mm-hmm. We have a bunch of parasites. Saudi Arabia is another little parasite we got. And that's another one that blows my mind. Like, why are we making such massive arms deals with these Wahhabis, you know, Salafists that butchered all these people in Libya and helped finance ISIS and groups like that in Syria? This debaucherous monarchy, and even the Khashoggi family stuff too. They're going on their little yacht rape cruise and abusing women, and like women couldn't even drive in Saudi Arabia until recently. And we say all this crap about human rights and stuff. They want to put them in the Human Rights Council at the head of it. And like, Saudi Arabia? Are you serious? And Saudi Arabia and Israel get along swimmingly. People assume this is a conflict between Jews and Muslims or whatever. First of all, Israel's not the Jews and Saudi Arabia is not the Muslims. And it isn't a conflict like that. There is a Shia-Sunni divide for sure. So, for example, Israel wants to fight with Hezbollah, which is a Shia group, or Iran, and so does Saudi Arabia. It's that enemy, my enemy is my friend type of thing. And they're all parasites. And so I was listing all this stuff. And what I was saying, the point of that wasn't to say, oh, well, if there's a disproportionate number of Jews, which would have been Jewish supremacists and Zionists, involved in all these negative things, from fucking banking to media to whatever, I don't remember what the thing was, organ trafficking, porn, da da da. And there is. Why is that? It's not because of some racial teleology, because I don't think Jews are a race. I think it's a religion. Mm-hmm. I think it's because as a minority, and this is one of these based on identity or descent things, you can get away with it. Because of World War II, how horrible that was, which it was to everybody that was horrible, right. But specifically, you know, being thrown in labor camps and death camps. There is this attitude of, well, just let it go. I can't criticize that because someone will call me a racist. And when you're not allowed to criticize a certain group and any portion of them, whether it's Jewish organized crime or whatever, starts doing all this evil shit, they can get away with it. And you could see that a little bit, to a little bit of a degree, like there were some people who were afraid to criticize Obama, even though he definitely did a bunch of horrible, stupid things. Because Obama's black and they didn't want someone saying, oh, you don't like him because he's black. And obviously that wasn't the reason. But in our culture, being accused of racism is like, you might as well just go, you know, shoot your balls off because you have no career, no future, no anything. Now, I would criticize Obama the same way I would criticize and did criticize Bush and Clinton and every other president. And his ethnic background made no difference to me. But there were people who are like, you don't like the black president? I'm like, he represents blacks about as much as Bush represents whites. I'm like, what's his race got to do with it? Nothing. And I will criticize Arabs, Jews, whatever. And so what I see happening, though, is, and this is just a fact of history, when Israel, for example, was stealing nuclear weapons from the United States, they were laundering the money. These are criminal groups. We're laundering the money through Holocaust charities. That's fucking sick. But it was political suicide to audit a Holocaust charity right after the Holocaust. And they knew it. And so they just let them do it. And they got more and more emboldened. They were first stealing weapons, regular weapons, because there was a huge surplus of weapons after World War II and huge black markets, people selling the weapons all over the world. And they ended up getting uranium, and they ended up building a nuclear bomb, and then they ended up miniaturizing and and they just knew about it, said nothing. Why? Because it looks bad or whatever. And that's why that group was able to, like, if you want to get away with a crime, just include the Israelis. They bombed Syria yesterday again. Nothing in the news. Why? You just can't criticize that state, and you know it, and I know it. Anybody that's ever criticized Israel will get this canard of you're an anti-Semite, right? And they call themselves the Jewish state. So I thought, okay, well, if you want to use that excuse, then why don't you own that responsibility too? it sounds awful to be like, oh, well, Jews are doing this, Jews are doing that. Now, it's obviously not the Jews, but if you're going to say that about your neighbors, which they do, they're like, oh, the Arabs, look at all the Arab states. That's one of the other false arguments that a Zionist will give is the size on the map. Look at little Israel and all these the Arabs around them. Mm-hmm. When all those are different countries, and Palestine is still smaller than Israel, but all those are different countries of different interests. There's no such thing as the Arabs with the Arab interests or something. That's like saying the Asians, like, mm-hmm. oh yeah, they all get along with each other, don't they? Not, you know, but they don't want to own it. So like, it's, the point is, it isn't a racial state, or shouldn't be, but that's what they call themselves and base their immigration on and build Jewish only colonies on top of people and all that. And all that happens. Okay, there's another one. It's a settlement. It is by law a Jewish only city that they're taking private property, forcing everyone out. They'll shoot their kids, bulldoze down their homes, whatever, to set up a racial apartheid. And all we do is give them money. And if right. you point out what they're doing, which is racist and is fueled by Jewish supremacists, mm-hmm. which I said like six times at the beginning of the video and another three times after the video, you're after that little clip of, you know, that they take out, then you're racist.
You mind if I jump out there and just ask something? So the clip, like you're talking about what led up to World War II, and I realized Zionism like started becoming a thing in like what, 1860, 1870, something like that. So it predates World War II, but it's not the Israeli state at that point. So a lot of people, when they see that, they think you're talking about the ethnic group.
No, it's Jewish supremacist. It's like, look, if back in the 1800s, there was a lot of supremacists, whether it was religion or social Darwinism or whatever, like, mm-hmm. but I don't see an ideological difference on the race issue between Nazis and Zionists.
Right.
Other than we killed the Nazis and we financed the Zionists. They're racist. Like one picked Team Jew, one picked Team Aryan or whatever. And all that crap's in their mind anyway. Like where the racial line and stuff isn't that rigid. And Jewishness used to be a religion. It's like you're Jewish if you believe in Moses and all that stuff, right? There's not like a supposed to be a racial component to it. But there is a faction of Judaism that's like, no, when they said the chosen race of God, which normal Jews would interpret as the people chosen to spread the word of the Torah and da-da-da-da. But there's a big faction now that says, oh, chosen race meant like biological race, which they didn't even know about at the time. They thought they said bloodlines, perhaps, but oh, that means we're superior to all these Gentiles. And so we're the chosen race. And I don't see, and that's allowable because it's religion. So it's like, oh, okay. So if it's social Darwinism, and then fascism's not okay. But if your religion says you can be racist, then that's all right. And that's right. the only difference. It's like one has a religious justification for racism. The other has some pseudoscientific justification for racism. But the other difference is the Nazis are gone. The Zionists are in charge and they're currently murdering people right now.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that the Jewish supremacist wins over the white supremacist these days as far as political power goes. There's no...
Or anything. Like there's no... No one could get away with what they're getting away with in the world. Right. And I know to people, they're like, oh, when they hear the word Jewish, they cringe because, I mean, we almost all have like PTSD from watching, you know, Holocaust videos when we're 7 years old. We see all these dead naked bodies and stuff. They don't do that for any other atrocity. And so right. like, that's the only atrocity where we have the actual proper reaction to all this pointless violence. Maybe we ought to show that for all the people starving to death in communism and so on. And then maybe people will go, ugh. But we don't. The only dead bodies you've ever seen in World War II were the Holocaust. You're right. not going to see the people that got nuked in Japan, like the, you know, on the periphery, all the burn victims and stuff. You're not going to see all the Germans and Italians that got raped and murdered after the war, or American or French or anything. It's just the camps. And the reason is that's the only thing that differentiated the Allies from the Axis, because both of them killed civilians and tortured people and bombed cities. And so the Holocaust is one thing like, ah, but they did that. We didn't do that.
Yeah. So I know.
But anyway, like That's the, you should be horrified by that. So the people are overly sensitive to the word Jew. And I'm like, if you take the same speech I said and replace Jew with white or American and made it American exceptionalism, then no one would care and there'd be nothing wrong with it. Like, oh, who starts all these wars? America. Who's got the big financial backbone? America. Who's trading in drugs and narcotics and imprisons the most people? America, America, America. And if I had said white, it wouldn't matter. If I said white supremacists and racist whites and stuff like I did the same way, and then later I just said white again, white again, white again, you fucking know which whites I'm talking about because I prefaced it like four fucking times. But when you say Jewish supremacists, racist Jews, Zionists, Israeli apartheid state, and then you say Jew this, Jew that, Jew this, they're like, oh my God, it's all the Jews. And I'm like, this isn't like a in a different video, like within the same video, it's sandwiched between me being very specific, saying I'm talking about Jewish supremacists. And you can't criticize Jewish supremacy. You can't. Right. You can't criticize Jewish racism. Like, no, only whites can be racist. Racism about power. Well, if either definition, first of all, anybody can be racist. Anybody that believes their race is superior to others is a racist. And you don't have to have power to have a stupid belief. And they have both anyway. They've got the power and the racist. If you can't criticize that racism, the racism is what fuels the whole thing. Like, why do they have to have an ethnic state? Why do they have to move there from Europe and carve out a piece of a country where people already lived? And rather than living with them, they have to live on top of them and exclusively push them out.
I've just got two more questions about the video, and then I want to move on to talking about other stuff. But one is at the end, not of the clip, but of the whole video. You say, you know, you're talking about the parasite again, and then you say, mm-hmm. if only there were an antidote to a parasite. What did you mean when you said that?
Yeah, so I have a movie called The Parasite, which talks about the parasitic relationship. Like, over 16% of Israel's entire GDP is foreign aid, just in the United States. And then you add up the foreign aid from Germany and Canada and all these other places and Christian churches. And they totally live off of the fruit of others. It mm-hmm. is a giant welfare state. And I know why it is. It's like, oh, well, you know, a good portion of the so-called aid, which is always forgiven loans, is earmarked to be respent on U.S. arm industry. So it's just an indirect subsidy for the military-industrial complex to give Israel F-15s and billions of dollars. We have like $150 billion trade deficit with this state. And it's our largest recipient of foreign aid in the world. In fact, in the 90s, Israel got more foreign aid from us than the entire continent of Africa. Seven times as much. Right. Seven times as much aid for that little racist state than every single country in Africa save Egypt. And Egypt got the second highest amount of aid because they were paying Mubarak off to look the other way for the Israelis to cut off the Palestinians. And none of that money went to the Egyptian people or anything like that. And I'm not a pro foreign aid to anywhere anyway, but nowhere sucks up as much wealth and influence through aid than Israel. And by including the MIC in their aid, that makes the military industrial complex have the interest of upholding the apartheid in Israel, knowing that that's going to cause conflicts because they profit from that. And they profit from that state's aid.
What's the antidote you were talking about?
So the antidote that I was talking about was BitChute. Like, because to me, and I've said this in a million videos, I know you're asking just so I can say it again, but if you want to change politics, you can't just vote in the right people. You have to change the culture. And if you want to change the culture, you have to change the media. Uh-huh. And 2 years ago, whenever Soleimani was at 2019 or something, that time is when a lot of people were getting banned on YouTube and Facebook and whatnot. And we had this new ish thing come up, BitChute. I was saying, look, we can make videos on BitChute. And now I would add Odyssey and, you know, Telegram and VK and stuff, but they weren't really viable. BitChute was sort of the first one out the door. I was saying, if you want people, if you don't want all this aid and money going to these parasitic states, which then, I mean, resold it to China and all this other nasty thing, then people have to know about it because the majority of people that support Israel do so because they don't have a clue that Palestinians are being ethnically cleansed or that they're getting, you know, $10 million a day from the United States. If they did know that, maybe they were like, hey, I don't want to pay for that crap. But they're not going to go against these politicians, and the politicians are not going to go against it because the press will crucify you. If you go against Israel, they'll call you an anti-Semite, blah, blah, blah. And it works. Like, when you oppose Israel, all these groups, any congressman ever that's gone against Israel's, you know, doesn't, when they say jump, you don't say off of what, not even how high. It's like, oh, which building, sir? If you don't bow and kiss the ring, grab your ankles for Israel, they will crucify you. And one of their biggest weapons is so sick because it's a bunch of racists accusing someone else of being racist for not following the racism. Right. And it's like, and it's really a stain on Judaism too, because now I don't think the theological part of the religion is even the core of the ideology. Nowadays, it's more the ethnic component and like being related to people who suffered World War II or something. It's like, oh, I'm Jewish because my mom was Jewish. Or I heard people say I'm half Jewish. I'm like, that doesn't make sense. It's like being half Catholic.
Right.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your savior and the Pope and all that? Or you don't, you know, you don't have, you can't be half Catholic and you can't be an atheist Jew. Like if you're an atheist, you're an atheist. A majority of Jews in Israel are European, white Europeans with blue eyes and everything. If you want to get into what their ethnic group is, they're every group. The original Jews were Hebrews, right? If you want to get down to the Israelite kingdom next to Moab and the Canaanites and stuff, they would have been Hebrew from the Levant. They would have been brown. You know, that's the original people who made up the faith. But they spread around the world, and just the same with Christianity. That was a Middle Eastern religion too, but not anymore. Right. The majority of Christians are Latin American and European, and Latin Americans sort of mix of European anyway. But they'd be in, you know, Europe, Russia, the United States, Canada. That's where Christians live today, because most of the Middle East now is Muslim.
Yeah.
So you've got two faiths that start somewhere, but it's white people, and it's white people that have gone to Israel that just call themselves, oh, I'm not white, I'm a Jew. I'm like, you're a white person that calls himself a Jew then. Like, and right. you don't speak Hebrew, and you don't even believe in the religion. Like, what makes you Jewish?
Right.
Your genetics? Like, and what does that mean? I mean, that's racist as fuck.
Sure.
I'm this way because I have, you know, these relatives or whatever. That's so silly.
Yeah, so I want to get into religion, but I just wanted to ask one more thing about the video. So with the language you use, you know, like parasite and, you know, you say Jew, all this, and then the original, why can't I think of the nerd? The original thumbnail used on it was a gas mask and a Zyklon B canister. So
no, it's not. That's the video following it. And it, or no, the video before it, actually, the video following it is called The Parasite, and it's a movie, and it goes over all the stuff I was saying. The thumbnail is of Soleimani.
Right, but I could be wrong, but I thought that the original, I thought you changed it. It didn't used to be that.
It's still that way right now. The video before it's the one with the gas mask, and that one's got Soleimani, and the one after is The Parasite. This is like, thinking it's like a red Israeli flag with blood on it or something. Somebody just fucking lied. And just like whoever watched that and clipped it, it's like they know better, because if you watch the beginning and the end, you know I'm talking about Jewish supremacists because I said it 8 times. And then they're just like, oh, I'm gonna clip out this 30 seconds to make him look like he just hates the Jews. I say, look, man, this stuff that I'm saying is very uncomfortable to hear, but we do have a Zionist media. We do. And we are at war for Israel's interest, because mm-hmm. we did invade Iraq based on lies from Jewish supremacists. That, I mean, Richard Perle and Doug Fife, what do they all have in common? They're all Israeli partisans, and they believe in this racist state, and they think they got to kill their Arab neighbors. And that, you know, Saddam was supporting Palestinians. That was one of the reasons to get rid of them. And they want to grow that ethnic state. And that is the people that are dragging us into war and all of that. And for whatever reason, you know, you get, when you start talking about the banks and all these things included, all of them profit from war. But the war is the centerpiece that allows the profiteering for everything else, whether it's banks, big pharma, whether they all feed off the war. And the war needs a reason. And what starts this ethnic conflict is racism. Mm-hmm. And it's Jewish racism.
So just, just to get this completely clear, the Zyklon B thumbnail is a lie. That never happened. That wasn't a thing.
Well, I have I have a thumbnail of a video like that, but it's a completely different topic.
Okay. All right.
It's on Zyklon B, and the Soleimani video has got a Soleimani on the front. Like,
oh, yeah,
that wouldn't even make sense.
What it was is someone told me they used, and I didn't do this myself, so I don't know, but they used the Wayback Machine, and that it originally had that thumbnail on it, but that's not true.
No, and you can check it. It couldn't have that. Well, BitChute is kind of wonky like that. It'll have like whatever your most recent thing is until the next video comes or whatever.
Okay. I believe you. I'm just trying to clarify all this shit.
Oh, so I definitely had Soleimani. I was fucking furious about it. I had Trump going like this, and
yeah,
I had General Soleimani on there.
I've seen that. Yeah, this was up there now. So I was just making sure. Because, I mean, when someone told me that, when they showed me the picture of the Zyklon B, I was like, I didn't believe them. I was like, there's no way this is true. And they said, no, I went back on the Wayback Machine. So I was like, well, I'll ask him. But I mean, even I can't imagine doing something that stupid. So
I'm not that dumb. I mean, like, what Zyklon B has nothing to do with all the shit I was saying anyway.
Right. Okay.
Zyklon B is a delousing agent that's been used. It was used in both world wars and in Ellis Island. And but that video, what I was talking about, as I was talking about Andersonville, Georgia. And I started talking about the people starving to death and dying of typhus and typhoid, and how the president at the time would not free these people. And then in the middle of the video, you figure out I'm talking about Abraham Lincoln, not Hitler, and Andersonville, Georgia, and all these people who died of typhus and typhoid.
All right. Good enough. Well, leaving that behind, I wanted to talk about religion, because I don't think a lot of people even know that you're an atheist. I think some people think you're like some crazy right-wing Christian guy or something, who don't know you well enough.
You know, it's funny because I get called like a hardcore Muslim too, because I'm always defending Palestinians and Iraqis and so on.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess I looked kind of Arab when I had longer black hair. I don't know. Like, no, I'm not religious.
Yeah,
you
know?
I'm not like anti-religious either. I just like, I think it's just kind of silly.
Right. Yeah. Just give us what do you believe in? Anything, or what's your general thought on religion in general? Or
of course I have philosophy. I mean, I believe in pretty much a Jeffersonian as far as how I just be good to people. Like Mark Twain said, religion sort of has different prongs. Like it's supposed to explain the origin of how we got here and stuff and where we're going and how you should behave. And as far as for morality, you don't need a supernatural explanation to come to the same conclusions that, you know, you shouldn't lie, cheat, steal, da 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 da, right? Like, I don't need a cosmic babysitter to tell me stuff that I think is common sense.
Right.
And then as far as, like, how we got here and all that, like, I have a much more scientific approach, and I'm going to go with that because it's proven fruitful in everything else. Like, when I get on an airplane, I want it based on physics. That's how I trust it'll fly when I get in an elevator. I want that, all that based on hard science, that I trust that it's not going to plummet to the ground each time. I'm not going to rely on prayer or whatever. I'm going to rely on engineering.
Right.
The same thing with, you know, astrophysics and things. I'm going to go with that and say, yeah, I don't think the Earth was made in a week. I think it's a lot older than that.
Right.
So that's my cosmological beliefs. But the more interesting part of religion is the moral precepts and questions about consciousness and free will and things like that. That's a more deeper discussion. But I have all secular philosophic explanations on those too. But if you don't, it's just fine with me. You know, I don't push. I'm not one of these like atheists that there was a clique of atheists that were. Actually, all they ever really did was criticize Christians and Muslims, but never Jews. Mm-hmm. And they were all Jewish atheists. And I'm like the Sam Harris's and the Hitchens and stuff. I'm like, why? I mean, fine, criticize Islam and Christianity, but Judaism's guilty of all the same things and worse. Mm-hmm. But oh no. And the reason is that's the one that'll get you in trouble. If you criticize Judaism, you'll be called anti-Semitic, even though all you're doing is criticizing something that deserves criticism. I mean, they have animal sacrifices and stone people to death, and it's pretty much crazy.
Yeah.
And you can say that about Christianity, because a lot of Christianity is the first two thirds of the Bible's the Old Testament, and all of that's Jewish. And it's all crazy, as much worse even than the new stuff. But saying that, like, oh, I always hate Jews. Yeah, I'm like, no, I hate crazy, you know, and Islam's got crazy stuff. But I feel like you gotta split the difference between Judaism, Christianity, and Islam from a Muslim, a Christian, and a Jew, because a lot of people ignore what's in their text. Which is good. Being a hypocrite is good if what you're being told to do is insane.
Yeah, right.
And so there aren't many Christians, for example. I'm going to use Christianity because I don't want to pick on Judaism because, you know, YouTube will kill you. But just imagine you can replace this with Islam or Judaism and it'll still fit. I don't know of any Christians today advocating for a monarchy and a king. Right, we have republics and voting and stuff, but they didn't at the time. And Romans 13:1 spells out the divine right of kings, and that is what they practiced for over 1,800 years was kingdoms and the kingdom of heaven. Everything's structured in this monotheistic way of the divine right of kings, or the divine right of the emperor, or the divine right of the sultan, or whatever, and this priesthood class. And that is how people live. Like, religion at the time, when it had power, was not just what you believe in these wacky things. It was the foundation and justification for government. The pharaoh, you know, the pharaoh says you do, the king says you do, and they could just have people killed in prison on a whim. They owned all the land. Everyone else was working as serfs. It was a horrible way to live, but they tolerated it because they thought, that's okay, as long as I'm obedient and I follow all these tenets and stuff, when I die, I'll go to paradise and I'll have it good in my other life. Napoleon joked about it. He was like, religion is a great thing for keeping poor people quiet. And, you know, they had to throw off the yoke of this, you know, psychological tyranny, as well as this physical representation in the kings and things that were divine and God picked them. And too bad, bud, this is the royal bloodline and you ain't in it and you got to obey. And the entire religion, both religions, all three religions, actually, they've got everything upside down because it's placing virtue in all negative qualities of obedience and submissiveness and faith, which is basically doing what you're told, even though it's against all reason. There's a real assault on things that would make you happy, on sexuality, on pride, on learning. Those are all bad things, whereas the slave mentality is praised. Be meek, submissive, and bow, and fear God, and listen to the master and the ruler. Slavery is also okay through the New and Old Testament. So is indentured servitude. You could buy and sell people. Like, a God would know better. But since it's not from God, people wrote these books and said they were inspired from God. There's a bunch of mistakes. And then there's just dumb stuff like, don't eat shrimp and don't have clothing of two kinds of material woven together. And if you cuss your father or mother, you should be stoned to death. And, you know, putting blood of a sheep on your door and stuff is just dumb.
Yeah.
And you ought to just laugh at that. But they're like, oh, yeah, it's all holy. And they're scared. They accept all this dumb stuff because there's like if the consequence for disbelief is burning in hell forever. So I used to have this shirt of a Jesus with a heart behind him, and he said, love me or burn. what a choice. I have free will. So I just follow this dead guy on a stick or burn forever.
Yeah,
I think I'll follow the dead guy on a stick then, but then hell's not real either. So you just got to go through it. But that, to me, like, it has been the cause of so much pain and suffering throughout the world, is when the wrong religious faction is in charge. And it's still like that today with Zionism. It is every bit as bad what they're doing. Like, this whole thing one day be like, yep. And the Sunni and Shia divide in Islam, which is so stupid. It's like, oh, just arguing about the lineage of Muhammad. That's the only difference. Like, oh, was it this guy or that guy? That's the Shia Sunni divide. But the real reason that it matters, even the people that know how dumb that is the tribalism. So if the Sunnis are in charge, they will use the instrument of government to allocate all the jobs and administrate and stuff to themselves and not the other. And so you do have to fight for it, because whoever's little faction is in charge of the state gets to divide the fruits of the state to their faction and not the other. So you miss out. So you do need to fight and get your guy in charge, the Sunni in charge or the Shia in charge. And it's no longer about the cunt hair theological differences, like just like Catholics and Protestants. It was like, where are they sending the money to? Are you going to send it to Rome, or are you going to keep it in England? You know, right. It was all about the money. It was not about the direct relationship versus God versus having to go through a priesthood. That's the only difference between Catholics and Protestants. It was, and then there's different factions of Protestants, which get even more silly, because it's the gap is just like, you're all Christians. Come on.
Yeah. But it was, if you're going to have Baptists and like all, yeah.
even within the Baptists and the Southern Baptists.
Yeah.
Sure. And, you know, Episcopalians are just Catholic light and whatever. It's, the real reason is, well, okay, there isn't much of a difference in what you believe, but this theological tribe is going to use the instrument of government to favor itself over you. And that now it matters. And when, if you had a secular government, it wouldn't matter. You know, right. Assad's an Alawite, so he wasn't favoring the Alawites. And you can work like that. But yeah, you're still seeing this rigid division based on religion because of bigotry. And I'm using that word correctly, because a lot of people, they say bigot when they mean racist. Bigot isn't racist unless it's your religion to be racist, I guess. And they also use the word ignorance the wrong way. They say ignorant when they mean stupid. Mm-hmm. Ignorance is a lack of knowledge. Stupidity is a lack of intelligence. And racism is the belief that a race is superior to others. But let me break that down in the liberal dictionary. Ignorant means you disagree with me. Stupid means you disagree with me. Racist means you disagree with me. Those words just mean you don't agree with what I'm saying. But no, they have specific meanings. And so you could be a racist, ignorant, stupid, bigot. You could be all those things. But more or less, it's there. I think you're always going to have the stupid part, but you don't have to be a bigot or ignorant to be racist. You could just be dumb.
Yeah. So most people probably know this, but you're half Native American, which kind of dismantles the white nationalist thing pretty fast. But what we're talking about here is pretty relatable to your.
Yeah, from their own point of view, like, okay, I'm Indian, but like to me, I'm American.
Well, I don't know. What I was going to say is this is relatable to your ancestors. They were murdered with the idea of divine providence, which was pretty similar to Zionism, the idea that God.
Native Americans are still getting fucked up. It's manifest destiny. And what they're doing in Israel is manifest destiny 2.0.
Exactly.
I mean, they were passing the Dawes Act and the Religious Crimes Act in the 1900s. The sterilized American Indians in the 1970s. Like, I just missed that window. I could have been never. It may have never been, actually, if my mom had been sterilized. They were sterilizing Indians in the 70s in the Family Planning Act. And Reagan relocated over 1 million American Indians. They stole their mineral rights. The largest class action lawsuit ever is from Native American groups toward the U.S. government. The BIA was moved from the War Department to the Department of Interior just to deal with Indian cases and bottleneck them to where it would take so long to get it processed, you'd be dead before you saw your day in court. All that stuff's happening now, and what they don't talk about any of this stuff of the uranium being dug up on the Navajo reservation and all this. All they talk about is a stupid pipeline, and that's the one reason I'm like, whoa, you want to have a pipeline? Like, other states argue, no, put the pipeline here, not over there, because you benefit from having a pipeline. But they get these pretendians and bunch of white liberals mostly that go out there and cry about the land and stuff, but there are other Native Americans who are like, nah, I think the pipeline would be great. It's gonna be underground, so you're just gonna walk over it, but you benefit any territory that line goes through. You get revenue.
Something you said earlier that I think is really true about the Holocaust is, you know, the reverence and horror that we have for that event should be spread to every event like that that's ever happened. But do you know how many Native Americans were murdered by the United States? I don't know off the top of my head. Do you know? But
I don't know by the United States, but by European powers. If you take the Spanish Spanish, French, and English, and you add the Caribbean, North, South, and Central America, which you should. I mean, why make a line? Go, oh, not this area. You're looking in the tens of millions, easily, up near 90 million. Just the Caribbean had about 11 million people at one point. It was the most populated part of the New World, and they murdered all of them. There are no Carib Indians that it's named after. The Caribbean, they are 100% gone. But the majority of the deaths, and 90% of the deaths, maybe even 95%, were smallpox. The reason is smallpox has related diseases like cowpox and stuff. It comes from the domesticated animals that only existed in the Old World. And because there were no cows or chickens or pigs or goats or sheep, all those domesticated animals that give you a huge advantage as shepherds and sheep herders and cow herders and stuff and animal husbandry in early civilization for, let's say, Europe or India or something, that none of them existed in the New World. So they didn't have horses. You'd think the common image is all the Indians have horses, but no, the Spanish brought the horses over. They also brought over the diseases that come on horses. And so whereas the Europeans got to kind of gradually get sick alongside their animals through a long period of time, and smallpox did devastate Europe too, but not as bad, they had a much higher resistance to it because they're evolving alongside all those animals. Whereas the American Indian had no resistance at all, never even seen these animals. And when they got smallpox, it just spread like, and there's no way to stop it. And so that doesn't mean the other 10% they killed off was that, but most of it was disease. And there were some pockets in North America. Ironically, the most primitive civilizations are the ones that made it because they didn't have contact and avoided the smallpox wave. Right. But they are also the ones least equipped to deal with the conquerors because they're the most primitive, you know.
So do you think there's so much stress put on the Holocaust to justify all the horrible stuff we did in World War II? Do you think it's just kind of to like draw attention away from firebombing Tokyo or the atomic bombs or all the civilians we killed? Or is that why it's just, I mean, is that why that is the thing that we always think about, even though it's not, it's not the most maybe. People that were killed in the 20th century. Like you said, the communists killed way more people.
I don't think it was like a plan. I think it just happened that way because we had film. And that was a new medium. Like you couldn't film the Civil War or whatever. You couldn't really film World War I even.
Right.
But by World War II, you have TV, you've got film, and they went out there and you can't really film the battle. They don't want to be out there in a camera when everyone's shooting and stuff. But you can film a prison. Like, okay, we're going to liberate this prison. Let's go in with the cameras. And it was like, oh, it's so horrible. But like, it is. But all of it had been like that. It just wasn't on tape. Right. So that's the part you have on tape. So that's the part you show. So I don't think they planned it like, oh, this will be our psych propaganda. But whatever. But the result is that. But you totally could film things of what the communists are doing. But they're not going to film themselves. They stayed in charge for another 40 years. And there is film of the aftermath of the atomic bombs and everything. But I think they didn't want to release that because immediately after World War II, they had a war in Korea and had to ally with Japan. And they didn't want to start picking scabs.
Yeah.
And then it just sort of got left. Now you do see it in Japan. It's on our TV. They'll show you all. It's fucking horrible. And there's museums in Japan for it. But there's no museum in America for what the Americans did to the Japanese. But there are museums in America for what Nazis did in Poland to Jews.
Yeah.
But there's no Polish museum to Native Americans. Because it's not on film. That's the reason. If you had footage of American Indians dying of smallpox and getting, you know, fed to dogs and having their hands chopped off and castrating people and all. They did that in Australia, too. I mean, they castrated men and let them run around with bleeding out of an orifice where the cock used to be. The stuff they did is so horrible. I mean, Columbus would have people strung up and hit him with swords and axes to test the sharpness of his weapons. And feeding people to animals and stuff. Like, none of that's on film, but if it was, I don't think we would have a Columbus Day, and we probably wouldn't have the name the capital after him or any of that. He did not prove the earth was round. Everyone knew that already. It's the church that was opposing that, ironically. That's another myth. Like, oh, everyone thought the earth was flat until Columbus sailed around. Yeah. Like, no, everyone did not think the earth was flat. Just some, no. And a lot of the church had already come around on it, too. It was just the backwater version or whatever that was saying, no, it says the four corners of the earth, and we're taking this literally. Again, religion, a bane to science and knowledge. But,
right.
Yeah. I think it's the film thing. And then I think it's like, they used that to denazify Germany because they, you know, had two world wars with the same country, and they're like, we're going to blame this all on you. And it kind of ruins that if you go, yeah, and look what we did here. You know, look what we did to Dresden or Hamburg or Tokyo, or, you know, you can't do that. Or Milan in Italy, they wiped that out too. You can't do that. So, yeah. But us being so far removed from it, I think it would be perfectly okay to see the horror of the communist and the imperialist. And the, I mean, the starvation in Bengal was 3.1 million people dying. And there are photos and stuff of that, but no one's ever heard of it. And what King Leopold did in the Congo, at least 10 million people died. And that was going on right on up to the edge of World War II. You know, in the ended in the 30s, I think. And it's weird. It's like, why is this one atrocity so important and not all the others? And it's like, because that one is the one that wasn't our fault. Anything any of the allies did, because Belgium's an ally, you know, or, you know, and Stalin was an ally too, actually. Well, that's all okay. And that's what people need to understand, like, who's writing the history book and who's telling you what to be outraged about. Be outraged about the Holocaust, of course, but you cannot act like this was good versus evil. This is evil versus evil. If you compare the death rates from all those powers, the fascists actually killed the fewest. I mean, and the imperialists are number one, hands down. Why are they fighting in North Africa in World War II? Oh, yeah, because the Europeans had colonized Africa. Like, that's fucked up. They speak French in West Africa. I wonder why. Because, you know what I mean? Like, that's just, oh, yeah, but that was a long time ago. That's all okay. Like, it was not a long time ago from World War II. You went back into Vietnam after the war. And then the Americans did, too. Like, you can't make those claims. And the Soviets expanded their empire after World War II. Right? And the U.S. is still blowing the shit out of people after World War II. They starved to death 500,000 children in Iraq in the 1990s, way after World War II. How was that not a Holocaust? That's a genocide. Right. And it's like Bill Clinton just walks around, you know, getting blowjobs from Epstein Island or whatever, and he can go and get paid to give a speech right now, right? Nothing bad about it. And it ought to be like, I see all the outrage towards like a Hitler character. I'm like, why can't we have that same outrage to the rest of them? Why not towards Israel? Like, if anybody's acting like Adolf right now, it's them. They have a belief in a superior race and they're killing all their neighbors. And all we do is give them money. And I don't get it. And the only reason that I can think of that people see this and look away is they're afraid of being called a racist. And that's why only racist Jews can get away with that behavior. It's the only group that's protected by that stigma.
Yeah. So from my experience growing up, I mean, Zionism to me, I was introduced to it through Christianity because it's super weird. I still don't really even get it because Christians don't believe the Jews are going to heaven, but they think they need to have their kingdom back for Jesus to return. That was what I was. You know, that was what the church I went to, the institutions I went to, they thought. So
support them until you get your third temple. Now, but here's the thing. There is no Jesus. He's not coming back. So that just means support the Judaism indefinitely.
Right. So I don't think that a lot of the people in charge actually believe any of this shit. I think they just know that a bunch of idiots do so they can get them to do whatever they want. But I've also... I've always thought it was interesting that, you know, the evangelical right-wing Christians in this country, they hate radical Islam so much. It's like the worst thing ever. But they don't realize that they are encouraging it through their Zionist policies. They don't realize that's what's radicalizing so many Muslims. You know,
I saw a great meme of the Taliban. It said, the Taliban is fighting for its freedom against a society that supports face coverings and hormones for children. And it was like a list of crap from the radical left, basically. Wear your mask, dope up your kids based on gender identity and all this. It was like, the Taliban are not like great people either, but that's too bad. I mean, that's the culture, that's who lives there. You can't force them to change through a barrel of a gun. If you want to change things, you either just kill everybody, which is totally unacceptable, or you're going to have to change the culture, and you can't do that without changing the media. And if you don't have a viable media and you don't learn their language and you're not really, you know, getting in there, then they're just going to stay the way they are. I mean, you saw them, they enjoyed the bumper cars and weightlifting. That was hilarious. I mean, I think, you know what I mean? It's like, you think you're cool, but you'll never be driving a bumper car, holding an RPG cool. Like they got rocket launchers on a bumper car and there's... and it's just like so foreign to them. They've never seen bumper cars or any of the things that were in the facility of the privileged class down there in Afghanistan. Yeah. And you know, they've got to be so enraged because I can't even $2 trillion. I can't understand what a trillion means. That number is so big. I don't understand a billion even. Like, I know what it means, like it comes, what numbers it comes after and all, but I can't really know the massiveness of that number. And that's how many dollars are spent. And where the fuck did it go? I don't see all these four-lane highways or anything in Afghanistan. It wasn't on infrastructure. It just all went to like ghost personnel and stuff. It was giant profiteering and selling opium. And you couldn't question it because it was like even... Back in the day when people opposed the war in Iraq and were anti-war, except Afghanistan, because that's killing the guys that did 9/11, right? And, you know, oh, we're hunting Osama bin Laden. Like, what? Okay, let's pretend like Al-Qaeda is not, and it never was, formed by the CIA and none of that. Let's say it's a completely independent terrorist organization that pulled off 9/11 all by itself, and one of the masterminds is in... Actually, he's in Pakistan, but it was in Afghanistan. Okay, then go over there and kill him. You don't replace the whole government and start selling heroin. You know, if some terrorist from Canada killed some people in New York and then fled back to Canada, you don't go carpet bomb Toronto. You go get the guy and kill him.
Yeah. So the last thing I wanted to ask you, you know, Saudi Arabia.
Although if someone from San Francisco did that and then they wanted to carpet bomb San Francisco,
then you'd be all like, for it.
I mean, would you miss it? No.
Yeah.
I think there are people that live there just waiting for the day to come on tidal wave.
They just want to break off and fall into the ocean, just get it over with. So the last
as
thing
long as you stuck a rainbow sticker on the plane and said these are LBGT bombs or something, they'd be cool with it.
the last thing I wanted to ask you about is Saudi Arabia versus Israel. And I think the really big difference to me is that I don't think the average American really likes Saudi Arabia or thinks they're our ally. If you talk to them, they're like, yeah, I don't know why we're giving them money. Where Israel, there is this like massive propaganda that they are our staunch ally, always in our best interests. And if we turn our back on them,
they all supported that war in Afghanistan and getting bin Laden. The majority of the hijackers are all Saudi nationals and financed by the state of Saudi Arabia. Of course, they don't know that part, but they do know that they're from Saudi Arabia, at least. Which is, he's in Afghanistan. I ain't from there. He was training there. That was the reason to go invade a state and take over its government and da-da-da-da. But not Saudi Arabia. No, well, they sell oil to us. So, you know, at least there's some benefit to kowtowing to Saudi Arabia, it breaks the OPEC weapon and yada yada. Sure. There's no benefit to Israel. All they do is give it more demands. But yeah, the difference is clear. Like, there's sort of a religious affinity for Christian Zionists that support Israel and ignore all the racism and stuff. But there's nothing like that for Saudi Arabia. It's just like, they'll never say it out loud, but they go out to their car and they're like, yeah, I don't want to pay $4 a gallon. So they just don't say anything about Saudi Arabia. They know about it. They know it's wrong, but they're like, yeah, but I don't want my gas to go up.
Well, it's already,
I don't know what it is
anyway. Like, so,
right. Well, exactly. Well, because we got rid of our own oil and gas. Really. Yeah. So they ought to be mad at Biden, but you know, this withdrawal, because my name says you pull out the soldiers last or whatever. That he didn't do this by himself. Like, none of them recognized, like, hey, you move the civilians out, then the troops. Mm-hmm. I mean, they move out the troops, and then the civilians are stuck with their dick in the wind and getting clapped. But Biden didn't do that alone. He's got a vice president and a cabinet, and they all agree, like, yeah, we'll move the troops out. Like, don't you want to get rid of your little domesticated civil government first? Because if they don't have any troops, what will happen to them? Maybe mm-hmm. falling off the bottom of planes like they were. And that was just embarrassing. But they're shifting the whole debate of like whether we should have a withdrawal or not. Of course we should leave. There's no point in having war in Afghanistan. But that's not how you do a withdrawal. And I'm worried about where they're going to relocate them in the next conflict. Because Biden voted for that war and financing it. And he was pro-war the whole time. Every single war there was.
Have you been surprised at all by how ardent he's been about leaving? Because I have. I didn't expect this. I was completely blindsided by it.
He didn't know it was going to be such a disaster. And then, but once you've done it, you can't turn on yourself because you already did it. You know, so you got to act like, it's good. I think that's the best thing he's ever done. I mean, yeah, it's a really stupid way to withdraw, but like leaving Afghanistan is great. Like,
good. And not just as president, like the best thing he's ever done as a human being. Like,
right. He's the best thing he's ever done, which is pretty easy. I mean, he could say good morning to somebody and that would be better than his whole career.
The other thing that's funny, though, is
that one time he didn't sniff a kid. And, like,
he withheld the urge. That was the best thing he did. Yeah, but the other thing that's funny is, you know, he broke the deal with the Taliban, and I feel like it was all politics just to have it not be Trump's deal. But
right.
If he is having this kerfuffle under Trump's deal, at least he could sort of say, well, this sucks because I'm doing Trump's deal. But now it's like, well, you own it, buddy. Like, anything that happens is...
Yeah, the Taliban, they understood that the government left in charge had no credibility because they broke their deal.
Right.
You can't broker a deal and then break the deal, just be like, no, I don't want him to get credit for this. I want credit for this. Right.
Well, yeah, I was very fucked
up. It's all tribalism. But now you're seeing the left on them too and going, oh, what about women's rights? And no, 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 no. You don't care about any surrounding areas with the same issues.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia. Just talking about. Yeah.
So, or Bahrain or Qatar or Kuwait or, you know, they don't give a fuck. And yeah, it's the Saudi thing too is, you think an end-all aid to Saudi Arabia, like, who's going to oppose that, right? But we don't give them money. We sell them things.
Right.
They buy it. And, or, you know, it's different than Israel. It's not as parasitic as Israel. But I think it's a lot easier to can get people on board to oppose Saudi Arabia than it is Israel. Because if you oppose Saudi Arabia, there are some people that will be like, oh, you're Islamophobic or something. But that doesn't really work, like the anti-Semitism crap. You right. know, it's just not as people. Some people are like, yeah, he's Islamophobic, right on. You know, that's because there is a lot of prejudice toward Muslims, unfortunately. Yeah. And the ironic thing is, when someone's making an argument for why would you offend Palestinians or whatever, they take the things that Saudi Arabia does and collectively blame that on all Muslims anywhere and go, these people are chopping off heads and da 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 da. Like,
right.
That is not Palestine. That's Saudi Arabia. Like, yeah. But to them, it's all the same. It's like attacking, it would be like attacking Korea after Pearl Harbor. Same thing, yeah. Right? Yeah. It's that level of stupid. And you've got politicians that can't tell the difference between the Taliban and Al Qaeda.
Right.
The Taliban is not Al-Qaeda. The Taliban did not attack us on 9/11. The Taliban didn't do anything to us other than cut off the opium trade. That pissed off the Sackler family and Big Pharma. And how are we going to pay for our terrorists if we can't sell these drugs? But you can't say that. You need some other excuse. So bin Laden was the excuse. And Saudi Arabia financed hijackers on September 11th with a green light from Uncle Sam. That's why we're not invading Saudi Arabia, because that was our partner in that event. Then you can't say that either. You have to find some excuse. They're starving kids in Yemen. And what's the U.S. do? It sends drones in and shoots up weddings and funerals in Yemen. The poorest right. country in the Middle East is being attacked by the second wealthiest country in the Middle East. And we're on the side of the oppressor. And it's just disgusting. But you hear dumb stuff like, just let all those Muslims kill each other. That's not what's that's not why they're fighting.
Right.
But they're still orientalizing a big area of the world. And it's about the maritime Silk Road. That's why they're fighting in Yemen and Saudi Arabia. It's port access and it's economics. It's money. It always is. But that stuff's too complicated. It's easier just to be like, religious groups hate each other. And on a very low level, they do. But you wouldn't be able to manipulate them into doing those things if very wealthy people with very large business interests were not involved. And it's like you said, they don't really believe in this stuff. They just use it, you know, and laugh at the plebs that they get to go kill each other.
Yeah.
Saudi Arabia has a vested interest in getting other people to believe in Islam, because the whole concept of having a monarchy is based on religion. So they need you to be religious or they can't stay in power.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which is where religion comes from initially anyway. Like you said, it keeps
poor. But they're all quiet. Exactly. And they're all like seeing hookers, and but they're very haram, let's say that. You know, like they don't even follow their own words, but they want everyone else to.
Well, they're like,
and that's classic government.
Evangelical Christians, same idea. Don't really believe in anything that their book says, but it works for control. So
right. And then, you know, it's like I mean, that's even in the Bible, like, you know, get the plank out of your own eye before you remove the speck from your neighbor's. They ignore all the good parts. That's why I say, like, religion's more like a car. A car doesn't run into people or stay on the road. The driver does. Mm-hmm. The car's just there. And you can use religion. You can be a good Christian like Ron Paul that picks all the good parts and ignores all the silly and crazy stuff. Or you could be an evil one that attaches to all the evil, crazy stuff and ignores all the good stuff.
Right.
It just depends. And I respect people, like, there are, believe it or not, perfectly intellectually sound people that have a faith. Mm-hmm. And what you find is you just have turned their entire text into complicated metaphors and rationalized their way out of what is clearly crazy and dumb. Like, you know, oh, when it says to beat your slaves, what it really meant is don't beat your slaves. I'm like, how about don't have slaves? But in the Ten Commandments, it's slavery, you know, even slaves should not covet their neighbor and their ox and their slave. Like,
yeah.
Slaves have to keep the Sabbath day holy is also in there. It's like slaves are acknowledged in the Ten Commandments of make sure you keep the Sabbath holy, even the slaves. Yeah. And don't covet your neighbor's wife, ox, or slaves. No, there's no 11th commandment of don't own other people. And in the following chapter, Exodus 21:20, if a man beats his male or female slave with a rod and the slave dies as a result, he should be punished. But if he gets up after a day or two, he should not be punished, for they are your property.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the chapter right after Exodus 20, which is where the Ten Commandments are. And it goes on and on.
Yeah, and then Jesus in the New Testament says, slaves, obey your masters. So, I mean, it doesn't
go. Yeah, Peter 2:18, you know, obey your masters in the same way your masters
obey God. How do you remember all these verses? Like, you weren't even raised Christian, right? And I can't even remember that.
No, I was.
Okay.
I was confirmed Methodist, went to Episcopalian boarding school, finished all my Bible courses, and I have a degree in philosophy, which did overlap with theology. Like, I know the Bible in and out.
Okay.
And that's why I don't believe it.
That's, I mean, I can't remember.
If you want to get really, really crazy, here's some ammo for some people. There is a theory, the Gnostics theory, that Yahweh is actually the devil, Satan. And if you look at their own chronicles, like 2 Samuel, in the book of 2 Samuel, I think it's 2 Samuel 24, they are saying that Yahweh and the Lord created this census for against King David to see how many Israelites there were, and yada yada, and this whole story. And then you go to 1 Chronicles 21 in the New Testament, and it says Satan, not Yahweh, Satan ordered David to create a census, and da 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 da. And so the Christian Bible is referring to the Lord or Yahweh of the Jews as the devil. And in Genesis chapter 4, when they're talking about eating off the tree of good and evil, which is just knowledge of free will, and then there's a tree of life, the creator is referring to himself as us. They must not be allowed to eat off the tree of life, or they will become like us, plural.
Right.
And it's because there was the demiurge is the 12th lowest god in the hierarchy. There's the one most high, which doesn't have a name, and the judge, and it goes all the way down. Like Komesh defeated Yahweh in the book of Kings. I believe that's Kings. Yeah, Second Kings 3. Komesh was a Moab god and is in the hierarchy of these gods, and it's about equal, a little stronger, obviously, than Yahweh. Yahweh also lost the iron chariots, so he's not that powerful. But then there's Baal and obviously Beelzebub and all these other gods that God is fighting in the Old Testament. So it's not saying other gods don't exist. It's saying don't put any other gods before me. Whereas Islam is way like there are no other gods. This is the only God, and Muhammad is his prophet. Whereas Judaism says, yeah, there's a whole bunch of other gods, but ours is the best, you know. Like, and then what used to be a version of Christianity is like, that's not the real God, that's Satan. And Jesus said that himself in the book of John, chapter 8, verse 44. You are the father of lies, because your father is the devil, and he's a liar. And when he lies, he speaks his own native language. And he's referring to the Jewish God as Satan. And I was thinking about it. I was like, well, they are acting satanic today in what that government is doing in Palestine. Like, why would anyone believe in that faith? Like, why would you sit there and read that and think, yeah, this is my team, when all they fucking do is murder people and rape and enslave? And, you know, it's always based on just pettiness and jealousy and revenge, and it's evil. Mm-hmm. And there's no concept of forgiveness or charity or things that Jesus spoke about, at least. It's just, you know, get one over on your neighbor type of shit. Like Jacob, which is the founder of the bloodline of all Israelites, which I don't believe, I think this is fiction, but this is in their own words. If you look at the story of Jacob and Esau, what's he do? He lies to his blind father.
His blessing.
He steals his brother's birthright. He lies to his employer. He sleeps with his wife's sister. It's just a debaucherous, lying, conniving, deceiving asshole. And he's chosen. Then he gets in a wrestling match with an angel and hurts his hip or whatever. And I'm saying, look, y'all, a person cannot wrestle an angel. An angel just would clap you in a nanosecond. The only thing that can wrestle with an angel is another angel or a demon. And when you're talking, Jacob and Esau are twins, and Esau comes out holding his heel, which is his expression for the evil. And, it's also a Phoenician word for the Hebrews was dirty heels. Nothing to do with the Tar Heels in North Carolina, by the way, but that was for regiments that held their ground even when they ran out of ammunition and started throwing rocks. That's where Jacob's an evil character, and you could interpret it that way. I'm not interpreting it that way for people, but I'm just saying this is what you can do with the Bible. Like, I could sit down with the Bible and make it say whatever I feel like.
Right.
And make a really good case, like, this is actually Satan. And look at what they're doing. Look at all the people they killed. And look at all the stuff they did in history. Oh, are they, you know, worshiping the devil and they don't know it? I don't really believe that. I don't think the whole thing is garbage. But you can take the Bible and chop it up however you want. I can make it a really great religion or a really bad religion just on, you know, pick and choosing passages. And that's what these priests do. And like, you're lucky if you get a nice one, but you could easily be a charlatan that made it an instrument of pure evil, and you can do the same thing with the Quran and so on. So
I think this is an important note. I know I said the last question was the last one, but I think this is really an important note here. Because, you know, like you were talking earlier, being a Jew should be a religious thing. Like, that means you believe in Judaism, where they try to tie it to biology, which makes no sense. And to criticize Judaism, I think is fair, you know, to say that Judaism can make act in strange ways, just like Christianity can, just like Islam
or Hindu had a caste system.
So I don't think, I think if anyone criticizes that point, that's absolutely ridiculous. Of course, a religion and a way can influence a culture and a way of thinking, you know, it obviously has all throughout history.
Well, I say it ought to be a religion, but, you know, using Hume's guillotine here, it ought to be, but it isn't. It's an identity nowadays,
right?
Which is sad, because it was a religion and it was part of a very ancient culture, one of the few that survived in, you know, continuity from then to now. You're not seeing the Punic face or, you know, the polytheistic face of Rome. They're all gone, but Judaism has survived the whole time, which is an accomplishment in and of itself. And it should have been, and you talk, when I talk to actually religious Jews who, you know, have a good interpretation of, you know, or good excuses for all the weird stuff that's written in the text. You know, they're very sincere and they have a philosophy, even though I don't agree with it, that works for them. It has a good outcome, right?
I know anti-Zionist practicing Jews too. Like, it's not like it's a, you have to be a Zionist if you're a Jew or something.
No. Zionism is Jewish supremacy wrapped in a religious cloak.
Sure.
And Judaism is Judaism. It's just, you know, it's a, I can't explain Judaism. It's a long thing. You know, you've read the stories. And they, you know, that's their relationship with God and what they think, why they're here and what they're, how they're supposed to behave and this and that. And it does have some weird, they don't eat bacon, which I'm like, oh, you're missing out. Neither do Muslims. But I'm like, see, this food is so good. Two major religions banned it. That's how awesome it is. and again, only Satan would do such a thing. No. Who would ban bacon? The devil. He doesn't want you to be happy, because if you're happy, if you're unhappy and broken, you're more likely to be obedient and submissive. And so you have to attack a person's sources of pleasure and ridden them with guilt. You're born with original sin. You're rotten, and you need to be self-hating and loathing, because then you're easy to control and manipulate.
Yeah.
If a self-confident person is hard to order around, right? And like a lot of libertarians are self-willed, self-confident, and the government says something and they're just like a fucking cactus or whatever.
Yeah.
But if you're a broken down, sinful, guilt-ridden, self-hating, and you're seeing this too now with critical race theory stuff, trying to get white people to hate themselves just because of how they're born, then you're easier to manipulate and control. And you can sell them more antidepressants and this and that. And like, you have this like fear 24 hours a day that some judge is watching everything you do and knows everything you even think about. You can't even think about something simple. And that's not healthy.
Yeah.
It's just not. And, you know.
That's
the point.
We're over an hour here. But in conclusion, basically, what we've kind of summarized here is, you know, religion in general is designed to control you. Be upset about every genocide and every horrific,
and criticize racism, including when Jews are racist. Yeah.
Criticize racism and collectivism, no matter who's pushing it.
That's right.
That basically sums it up. So,
and Kate Beckinsale is queen. All right, I'm glad we agree on all that.
But is there anything else you want to say, just for clarification, that you want to add? Or
no, I mean, look, that video from years ago is going around. Means I have like 4,000 videos. And I have long ass, like 4-hour debates against racists who are saying all these terrible collective things about Jews, and I'm defending the Jews. And I have videos to tell you the difference between Judaism and Zionism. What was weird is the videos where I am arguing with racists were the ones that got banned first. And it's because of the stuff that they're saying, probably. But I'm like, that's the problem. Like, we can't have this dialogue where I can debunk all these racist claims. You know, and blacks too. There's all this 1350 my IQ curve and stuff. I debunk all that stuff, but no one is allowed to hear that discussion because they remove the video. There's another one where I argued with Nick Fuentes, who was pushing this crap.
I've seen that one before it got removed.
But they removed his whole channel.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that discussion helped turn or convert a lot of like alt-right people away from that, because I was able to give them rational explanations for why you see differences in this and that from this.
I've gotten dozens of messages from people telling me that, like saying, hey, Ryan saved me from QAnon or, you know, like being a racist or like crazy right winger. I get those messages. So,
yeah. And it's like they picked one video out of 4,000 and there's no follow up. Well, he did it here too. No, it's you're ignoring all these times where I'm fighting against white racism, black racism, whatever. But when I say something about Jewish racists, they lose their fucking minds. I was like, well, see who you're not allowed to criticize. That's, you know, if you're not allowed to criticize this, it will continue. And it is like, that is the problem right now. That's why we're at war in the Middle East. It's why we're at war in Syria. It's why we're putting sanctions on Iran, because of Israel's undue influence. And there's just no reason in the world we should be supporting a state that ethnically colonizes their neighbors. That's, to me, like, that is our current Hitler. That is the evil in the world right now is in Israel. And no one can admit that to themselves, because Israel happens to be comprised of a lot of Jewish people. Like, Jews can't do anything wrong, because if I say something that they're doing is bad, am I anti-Semitic? Like, how stupid can you be? Nobody can kill someone else and say, yeah, this is my team, rah, rah. Like, that is so wrong and so wicked and evil. And if you really are religious, you should be able to see that. Hey, what are they doing to Palestinians and Lebanese and the Egyptians and Jordans and Syrians and Iraqis and everybody that Israel's attacked preemptively?
Mm-hmm.
They're sick, man. Fuck Saudi Arabia and Israel. And like, fuck North Korea, too. We can get that in there, too. Fuck these people. They're despotic. It's demonic, man. Like, if there was a Satan, there it is. Because they're killing children. And I can't think of anything worse than just murdering people in mass. And we, and in worse ways, depleted uranium. You know, let's kill babies with radiation. Like, what the fuck do they have to do to get you outraged?
Mm-hmm.
They are killing babies with DU. They shot it all over Iraq, and you're getting all these kids born deformed and stuff, and or not born at all. Why isn't that considered racist? Oh, you're doing that to Arabs. I mean, they're not doing it because they're Arab, but, you know, using the same line of logic.
Yeah.
Why do they hate us? And that's how you end up with Hitler's, is because if you keep, it won't be in Europe this time, but there might be some imam in Iran or somewhere that will pop up that can legitimately point to all these things that is being done to their country and their countrymen, as Hitler did, because they did annex land from Germany after World War One and da-da-da-da. And yet, that's why it's like, oh, you're going to end up electing another Adolf. But Adolf did not just appear on the scene out of the blue. Adolf was created by the Treaty of Versailles and World War One, and it was like all these things, all these ingredients that had to come in before you get that dictator. He wasn't just some guy with magical speaking powers. A lot of people agreed with what he said, because he would mix legitimate grievances in with his, you know, racist bullshit and stuff. And they wanted a scapegoat. And you can see that right now. There's a lot of people are like, oh, well, you know, someone's going to sneak a dirty nuke into Israel or something horrible. And it's like, well, did you not see that coming? Like, you can't fucking abuse all your neighbors for decades and expect there to just never, you know, be some desperate attempt. That's how you end up with suicide bombings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are all these Palestinian suicide bombings. It's like, I got nothing else to live for. And that's the same reason you had suicide bombings in Vietnam or kamikaze pilots in Japan. It had nothing to do with religion. It was, I need to get rid of this boat, or because if it reaches on our land, they're going to kill everybody. Yeah. Or, you know, I don't have a fucking M60 machine gun, but I found some dynamite and I'm going to run up to those soldiers and blow them up, because they've been killing. We killed 2 million people in Vietnam. That's why they got so desperate that a child would come blow up soldiers. They wanted us to get the fuck out of there. And yeah. Palestine's in that situation today. And we are continuing to either support or be the oppressor. And that's just fucked. That's why I have a Palestinian flag right here. And I'm not Muslim and I'm not Arab, but they are clearly the victim in that conflict. They are the Indians. And I wish somebody had been around to stand up for us. But now we can. We've got global media and all that. And somebody needs to be against all these wars and call out these people and their racism. And yeah, you're going to get called anti-Semitic and whatever. You know, I got called a Holocaust denier too. I'm like, why? Because I talked to them. You know, I won those debates. Like, if you go and listen to them, I won. Like, Eric Hunt, who was a revisionist, is now no longer a revisionist and actually is now arguing with other revisionists. Like, I started that through my conversations. And I talked to David Cole because they tried to kill him. And I don't think, like, okay, you believe something, you don't think there's a Holocaust, whatever. He shouldn't go to jail.
No.
You know? If you want to say, like, QAnon's stupid, but they shouldn't be going to jail.
Right.
You know? Who cares if, say, Elvis is still alive or, you know, Alex Jones says some crazy shit. But no one should go to jail for a political or historical opinion. Lots of people think Lincoln was great. I don't think they belong in jail. Funny farm, maybe.
Well, Ryan, thanks for coming on and talking about this. I mean, so many people were freaking out about it. And I was just like, well, I'll just talk to him face to face. And
yeah, thank you. Thank you for saying, like, oh, I wonder what he meant. Well, I'm right here. Just ask me. I'm not like some unreachable fucking pariah or whatever. Like, there are lists of videos of me arguing with racists and articles where I am. I'm a Thomas Sowell type of dude on sociology. Thomas Sowell and Derek Jensen. That's my jam. For I don't believe in biological determinism because it's not because that's like the politically correct position. It's because that's what makes sense. And part of it's because I have an identical twin. So we have the exact same DNA and we're very different from each other. I'm like, people can, your own personal decisions have more impact in your life than anything. Your genes would, how tall you are, color of your eyes, whatever, but you can't blame all, you're not set on a path of every decision you ever make in a hard determinist sense of the word. So anyway, that might've influenced me too, but I've never believed in any of this kind of like, if there's some sort of racial statistic or something, there's usually a flaw in the logic. The same was like the gender wage gap. Mm-hmm. There is no gender wage gap. It's women are paid less on average than guys. And there's only two groups. One of them, the odds of them landing exactly the same are pretty low. And when you really look at it, it's like, well, that's because they don't work as much as men and they don't work in the same fields. And their entire occupations, like professional athletics in the military, that are almost entirely male, or the males get paid more than the women because their performance is better and they sell more tickets and they produce more. So, you know, if you get a girl that's as good as Michael Jordan that people will pay to see, then she'll be a billionaire too. But when you remove all the, and these are all like $1 million salaries, if you remove all the professional athletes and generals and stuff like that, the gap gets more and more narrow and whatever. It's a myth, but they're like, oh, a woman only gets paid 75 cents the dollar. That is not true. And they'll say stuff like, oh, African Americans commit more violent crimes than this and this group, or Asians are earning more money than Hispanics and or Blacks. But you look at it and go, okay, what's the average age of Asians in the United States? What's the average age of Hispanics? Oh, one's in their 40s, one's in their 20s. Older people make more money than younger. Mm-hmm. It's not racism. It's just, they're always missing a piece of data. Yeah, Blacks have more crime on average than whites because they almost exclusively live in urban areas, which is where crime happens. Whereas the violence that whites are doing is diluted because you have all these people that live in the rural area where almost no crime is happening or being reported. That shifts the curve. That's part of it. I'm not going to sit here and re-explain all these statistics and stuff, but like, people are innumerate. Like, we cured illiteracy, but when it comes to numbers, people are horrible. They don't know what per capita means. There are more differences from geography within the same race than there are between races.